This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Coming up, ancient Roman party animals. But first, dice are tokens of luck, chance, and sometimes, even a little more than sometimes, successful subterfuge. For years now, Ricky Jay, who is perhaps the world's best-known sleight-of-hand artist, has kept a collection of dice in his home in Los Angeles. The dice are crumbling. Ricky Jay has acquired them to watch them decompose and crumble, often bursting and almost blossoming into lovely ruins as they come apart. Rosamund Purcell, who usually photographs well-known antiquities, has taken portraits of Ricky Jay's collection of desiccated dice. The result is an unusual book that is part photographic album and part a meditation on dice, the game and the way of life. The book is called Dice, Deception, Fate, and Rotten Luck. Ricky Jay, of course, is also known from his appearances as a character actor in a number of films, including State and Main, Boogie Nights, and Tomorrow Never Dies, the James Bond film, as well as his recent Broadway show, Ricky Jay on the Stem, which was directed by David Mamet, who's usually Ricky Jay's director. Mr. Jay joins us from NPR West. Thanks so much for being with us.
Scott, it's a pleasure. Thanks.
Dice were found in the ruins of Pompeii?
Yeah, absolutely, in Pompeii and Herculaneum. But it's interesting that you read account after account of loaded dice being found in those spots. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it's not surprising to hear they would be. But in my researches so far, I've never been able to actually find a pair of loaded dice from those two places, even though most 19th century accounts of gambling will mention that they exist.
You could tell if a pair of centuries-old dice has been loaded?
I think it's pretty safe to say one could, yeah.
Really?
The basic ways in which dice are altered for cheating have not changed, even though the methods have become more sophisticated. The two basic methods being to load them, to put something in them, or to in some way alter the face of them, shave them in a way so that they would be more likely to favor one side than another, has really remained unchanged.
How is it that you became the custodian of decomposing dice?
Well, I think perhaps your opening statement was a touch misleading. Mm-hmm. I really didn't buy them as decomposing dice. Over the years, I either purchased or was given or traded for a collection that amounted to, by the end, 20 years later, some thousands of pairs of dice. And as I looked at them some years later, I realized that they had begun indeed to deteriorate. Mm-hmm. So I didn't buy them as deteriorating objects, but became fascinated by what in turn wound up being the breakdown of the elements of dice,
yeah. Well,
particularly
you didn't get
cellulose
rid of,
nitrite.
Yeah, you didn't get rid of them either.
I certainly didn't get rid of them. And then one day, looking at them, I called up my friend Rosamund Purcell, the photographer who you mentioned, and I said, Rosamund, I have an unusual collection of decaying dice. And there was a pause, and then she said, that's the best news I've heard in months. And flew out to L.A. to take pictures of these dice, which I think are staggeringly beautiful.
Could I get you to read a section of the book where, in fact, you do describe the guts of your collection?
I'd be delighted. In an attempt to acquire empirical knowledge, I have accumulated thousands of dice over a period of decades. They are of myriad size, shape, and color, and of daunting variety. Bird's eye, bull's eye, donut, barbudi, poker, baseball, crown, crown and anchor, bell and hammer, drugstore, razor, brushed, feathered, juice, weight, hits, missouts, top, shapes, polyhedrons, teetotums, and rough-cut unnumbered cubes. They come from diverse sources. Generous friends, dealers in collectibles, distraught gamblers ready to embrace a new calling. They are fabricated from different materials, but the vast majority are made of celluloid.
Of course, then I understood the relationship between your career with sleight of hand and games of chance and film.
Yeah, you're leading up to the point that indeed the makeup of celluloid, nitric acid, sulfuric acid, cotton fiber, and camphor, is highly volatile and exactly the same thing used in early film stock.
Yeah. And what happens when they begin to die?
Well, they just take on these remarkable shapes. They begin to, first they sort of flake around the edges, and then you may see lines appear within the dice and the crystallization of dice, and then eventually they can actually even break apart.
One of my favorite stories in the book is you're relating the tale of, I'm afraid the gentleman was known as Olaf the Thick, and how he rolled 13, which isn't supposed to be possible, right?
Yeah, this is an 11th century tale, which has been repeated in a number of histories of gaming, but it's a particular favorite of mine. He was the king of Norway, Olaf the Thick, and he was rolling against the king of Sweden for the kingdom of Hissing, the island of Hissing. And the king of Sweden rolled 12 with the dice, the highest possible total, and said to King Olaf, there's no need for you to even roll as I've rolled 12. But Olaf insisted on rolling the dice, and he too ran a 12. Then the king of Sweden once again rolled and rolled a 12 again. And Olaf took the dice and rolled them. And as he rolled the dice, one of them landed with a 6 up, and the other one actually split in half on the roll and landed with both a 6 and an ace, giving an unprecedented roll of 13.
So you can never keep a good player down, can you?
I suppose not.
Yeah. Well, now that you're considered kind of a scholar of the realm, does your relationship to games of chance change?
Well, I suppose that anyone who is in a profession professionally looks at things a little different than someone who might choose to do it for a hobby. I think that filmmakers look at film in a way that's different than people who just go to a movie on Saturday night. And I suppose that that's true with me. But I must say I still absolutely love the idea of being fooled. And so whether it's by a man who's worked hard enough to come up with an edge in a game of chance or someone who's worked on doing beautiful sleight of hand, I really love that emotion. And I think it's one that we as a society get to see and appreciate too infrequently.
One last question. If you had to bet just a large amount on one roll of the dice, who would you like to throw it?
Well, I suppose I'd like to throw them myself.
Just because you're better at it or because?
Well, I think I'd rather have my fate in my hands than in someone else's.
Ricky, thanks very much. Nice talking to you.
Hey, this was fun. Thanks, Scott.
Ricky Jay, author of the new book, Dice, Deception, Fate, and Rotten Luck, with photography by Rosamund Purcell. Mr. Jay is also the author of Jay's Journal of Anomalies, with a subtitle that's genuinely too long to follow.